The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello, Hoop Heads. This is Alan Stein Jr. My new book, Raise Your Game, High Performance Secrets from the Best of the Best, will be available from all major book retailers on January 8th. Raise Your Game takes a rare peek behind the curtain and shows you what the top coaches and players in the game do during the unseen hours. I share their routines, rituals, and habits, as well as proven strategies that you can implement with your team immediately. If you want to maximize your coaching impact and influence, order your copy today at RaiseYourGameBook.com. And in the spirit of the holidays, if you're interested in purchasing multiple copies for your coaching staff, team, or program, I am offering several bonuses, like a 40% discount, signed copies, and a private video call with your team. But you'll have to place your order before Christmas. Once again, go to RaiseYourGameBook.com for everything you need.
The biggest thing that happened was Butch was let go in his second year, or our second year, I should say, working with him. And he said, hey, don't worry, I got another guy you can do a camp for in Toronto. And it turned out to be Vince Carter. And this was in the height of Vinsanity. And that was, you know, that's what truly put us on the map, thanks to Butch. And then from there, we ended up doing an event in Toronto with Steve Nash, whose agent also represented Carmelo Anthony. And they had a great experience. So they, you know, we had Melo his rookie year. And then 9 years after that, we were still working with Melo. And he had, I don't know if I've told you this before, Mike, but he had the second year of his camp. He asked me if we could grab somebody, one of his buddies from the airport who's going to work the camp. And we said, no problem. And it was Chris Paul. And Chris at the time was at Wake Forest, and Chris said, hey, if I end up making it in the league, would you help me with my camp? And we were like, absolutely. Yeah. And Chris was instrumental, and he introduced us to Dwayne Wade, and then, you know, it was just everything was a domino effect from there.
Greg Derbyshire is the co-founder and chairman of Pro Camps. Founded in 1998, Pro Camps is a best-in-class event management and sports marketing company, specializing in developing, managing, and operating camps, appearances, brand activations, and related experiences for professional athletes and coaches in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, the MLS, the PGA Tour, and the NCAA. Pro Camps helps Fortune 500 brands activate and execute more than 175 events across the country to effectively deliver brand messaging to thousands of parents, kids, and coaches via retail promotions, TV, radio, print, social media, and on-site activations. ProCamp's basketball clients have included Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, Shaquille O'Neal, Vince Carter, Carmelo Anthony, and Jason Tatum. In addition to NBA players, ProCamp has also worked with USA Basketball, John Calipari from the University of Kentucky, and Bill Self from the University of Kansas. In this episode, Greg shares the story of how ProCamp got started and explains the company's success working with professional athletes in all sports. After you're done listening, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Hoopheads podcast and leave us a rating and review in iTunes. It helps us to improve our ranking, which in turn allows us to reach a wider audience and grow the game of basketball. Please enjoy this conversation with my former Kent State University teammate and the co-founder and chairman of Pro Camps, Greg Derbyshire.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome onto the podcast Greg Derbyshire from Pro Camps, a former teammate of mine at Kent State. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to get you on tonight and give you a chance to talk a little bit about what you're doing with Pro Camps. You got a lot of exciting things going there with a lot of great athletes that you have in your stable. But we want to start out by jumping back to the beginning of your athletic career back in Middletown and kind of talk a little bit about your athletic background so people can get an idea of where you're coming from.
Absolutely. Oh, I was fortunate to go to Middletown High School, and it, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities, including what I'm doing today, because my sophomore year in high school, a man named Butch Carter, who's a legend from our hometown, played in the NBA for 7 years, came off a 10-day contract with the New York Knicks to become our head coach, and really gave me my first real introduction to basketball beyond what my father had taught me. And Butch later became not just a mentor and a great friend, but our first client at Pro Camps. But Butch was there my sophomore and junior year and gave me the opportunity to get recruited a little bit. And then after my senior year, the chance to sign at Kent State, and that's where, you know, you and I met, obviously. And from there, enjoyed a couple years at Kent. Got mono, I think our sophomore year, and Coach McDonald didn't believe in medical red shirts and ended up transferring to Miami. So that was a story. But Middletown was, you know, something that for us was you know, basketball. They, for a while until LeBron came, they had the most state championships and a great tradition, and it was just a great experience. Met some great friends that are still friends this day and had some great experiences.
And so obviously you had the opportunity when you graduated from Miami, you had a chance to go back to your hometown. Can you talk a little bit about what you did right upon graduation from Miami?
Yeah, well, from Miami, I actually came your way. I went up to NACTA in Westlake, Ohio, and spent a year in Cleveland. And from there, I was able to do an internship, and because my career goal, I don't know, even know if you know this, Mike, was I wanted to become a Division I athletic director, and that was, you know, what I went to NACTA for, and it turns out that, you know, in that next spring of my internship, a athletic director position opened up at the King's Local School District in Cincinnati, and honestly, I threw my name in the hat just to see if I could get a practice interview if they give me a chance, and I got to come back to see my family, and I got that opportunity and made it to a second round of interviews, and long story short, to a third, and became in the final two and got the position. And so that was my first real job. I think it was 1996. And I was literally the youngest athletic director in the United States. Didn't know totally what I was doing, but I was able to find some good mentors. My father is a college athletic director, so I had some good mentors in the area, and that's how my professional career started.
What was it about being an AD that you really thought would be something that you'd like to do and pursue as your career? What was it about that particular job that attracted you?
Well, you know, I grew up in a household where, you know, athletics were a priority in terms of, my brother-in-law was a baseball player at Miami of Ohio, then he played in the Cubs organization. My dad was a running back at Florida State and ended up transferring to Miami to run track. And it was something where, you know, I grew up around athletics, and I just thought it was always a passion. To be able to impact kids and be in sports, and so that's what I thought I wanted to do, and then I really enjoyed, you know, the first opportunity I had at the high school level, because, you know, we were overseeing, you know, I think we had 84 coaches involved. We had grade 7 through 12, and it was just for a young person getting involved in sports, it was a great opportunity. And the best part was I was on a 9-month contract. So I had my summers, and that's when I found my entrepreneurial spirit and started Pro Camps.
So what was it about an AD versus coaching? Because a lot of times you think of, you know, guys that have a background like you or I do, and, you know, you've been involved in sports your entire life. Was it the influence of your dad there, or what was it that made you think, hey, I'd rather be an AD as opposed to going back and going into coaching?
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually interviewed with the job with Charlie Coles, who was the coach after I left Miami, and a good friend of our family. And the one thing for me with coaching was I was literally so burned out as a player when I was 23 years old, because I did a, you know, I redshirted year, as you know, and practice was not my thing. And it just was those in the coaching position. I used to help a little bit with Ignatius when I was up there in Cleveland, and I loved it from the college standpoint. I would love the recruiting, I love the game prep and that thing, but I just, I don't know, that those 2.5-3 hours of practice, I had enough of that.
So, yeah, probably the opposite of what a lot of coaches would say. You know, a lot of coaches you hear that, you know, they love that practice planning and the opportunity to get in and teach and that kind of stuff. And I think that's one of the things that I always found as a coach is that it was, you know, when I first started, I really loved practice. And then by the end of the time when I was coaching in high school, I found that I wasn't loving that process nearly as much. And that's kind of when I got out, and same sort of idea on a much smaller scale as what, you know, what you did, is you kind of realize that working for yourself and getting that entrepreneurial spirit going and getting out and doing something a little bit different, maybe outside of that traditional coaching model, ended up being a really good fit for me as well. So talk about that, the entrepreneurial piece of it. Did you have that in your mind, or how did you get to the point where you said, hey, I want to get something going on my own? Was that something that you thought maybe I had that in your mind growing up, or is that something that just kind of came to you as opportunities presented themselves?
Probably the latter. It's never something I thought. I mean, I had an uncle who started a really successful pizza chain in Wisconsin, but he's the only real entrepreneur in our family. And but you know, when it was a mix of something I love to do, and you know, I'm big on, you know, being able to control your own destiny, and so that was important. And when you're doing something that's fun, you love, and it's not work, I mean, that makes it a lot easier. And then I was just very blessed along the way, and still am, with this, really had some great people that have helped with this thing from the beginning. And honestly, I never thought pro camps would be what I'd be doing 20 years later, and on a full-time level. But you know, it's been a great road in that respect. So, but yeah, I've enjoyed it, and you know, the more you get involved in it, the more you appreciate, you know, the things back in the day when we got started.
So talk a little bit about how you got started with pro camps. What was the first athlete that you worked with, and how that kind of got the whole process started for you?
Sure. So my brother-in-law, who I mentioned earlier, Tracy Smith, was the head baseball coach at Miami. So he went back there to coach, and we ended up doing his youth baseball camp outside of Oxford, because they were allowed to do them off campus and not have a bunch of restrictions. So I started a little LLC called Fundamental Baseball. And simultaneously, Jim Stahl, who was a coach when you were at Kent, and yep, assistant coach at Miami, he had something going in Cincinnati called the Greater Cincinnati Basketball Camp. You know, it was a very successful local camp where you hired, you know, prominent local coaches. And so when Butch Carter, my high school coach, became the head coach of the Raptors in 1999. He became the first client. We incorporated a company called Pro Camps, and Butch became our first client. And we did his camp, and you know, we literally had five locations going. And it, you know, that's right when basketball was getting, you know, pro basketball was introduced to Canada, so Butch really helped us get the company. And then in football, we started with Anthony Munoz around the same time. In Cincinnati. So 99, 2000 is when everything began.
So what were some of the early challenges that you faced as you started to put together those camps on the football and the basketball side? Were there things that maybe you didn't expect going into it? Did it kind of run the way you thought it would? Or talk a little bit about what those first couple of camps were really like for you.
Yeah, you know, the funniest part is, I think that the biggest challenge is we, you know, when we were doing five or six or seven camps when the company started, we couldn't figure out how we were going to be able to do that in the summer. You know, that was like a lot of events. And back then, camps were 4 or 5 days long. So, but, you know, I think that was probably the biggest challenge, figuring that out. And I think this year we'll, as a company, between the, you know, being G3 and pro camps, we'll do about 250 plus events. But, you know, so that was one. And then two, just, you know, as we grew, just doing more camps and events outside of the Cincinnati area. Obviously, we were doing something internationally right away. But I think learning how to do that and manage, you know, people coming over. I don't think we had a full-time employee until about three or four years after the company started. So Jim and I, you know, kind of ran it from, we had our day jobs and had our summers, both of us had the summers off, and that's how the company have began and we grew.
Yeah, I think when you, you know, it's funny because how many employees do you have now?
I think 53.
Okay, and those 53 are all full-time, part-time, or how?
That's full-time.
Full-time, okay. So when you go from just, you know, the two of you who are friends and running it yourself and kind of going about that, describe what the process was in terms of, were there growing pains as you started to add staff? Because, you know, obviously kind of as you start as an entrepreneur and you're doing a lot of that work yourself in that first, you know, year or two, and then how difficult was it to learn to start to delegate, or is it just the fact that as the company grew, you just didn't have a choice?
Well, you know, I had a kind of a stop in between. We kept pro camps going, but in 2002, so I was at the school district for 7 years, from 95 to 02. And 02, I left the school district, and I co-founded Anthony Munoz's foundation, and then right after that, Marvin Lewis's. So I was working a little bit on the nonprofit side, but kept pro camps going. The only thing that was difficult was probably trying to keep all the balls in the air at times. And it got to the point, you know, for me, because I like to be pretty hands-on, that I got enough stuff going that it forced me to bring more people in that are, quite frankly, probably more talented and smarter than I am. And it was, they were able to help me with the foundation and on the pro camp side. So that was really turned out to be a blessing to have a bunch of opportunities going.
So after you start out with Munoz and you start out with Butch Carter, then at what point do you get the idea, or did you always have the vision of, we're going to grow this thing beyond these two guys? Or was it initially you're just saying, hey, we're going to, you know, I know Butch Carter, I've got this relationship with Anthony Munoz. Did you think that it was going to, that there was going to be an opportunity to expand it? Or at first was it just, hey, this is kind of a nice summer job and, you know, I'm working with two guys that I know pretty well. Explain how the vision for where you ended up, was that vision clear right from the start, or did it change as you got into it more?
Well, the biggest thing that happened was Butch was let go in his second year, or our second year, I should say, working with him. And he said, hey, don't worry, I got another guy you can do a camp for in Toronto. And it turned out to be Vince Carter. And this was in the height of Vinsanity. And that was, you know, that's what truly put us on the map, thanks to Butch. And then from there, we ended up doing an event in Toronto with Steve Nash, whose agent also represented Carmelo Anthony. And they had a great experience. So they, you know, we had Melo his rookie year, and then 9 years after that, we were still working with Melo. And he had, I don't know if I've told you this before, Mike, but he had the second year of his camp, he asked me if we could grab somebody, one of his buddies from the airport who's going to work the camp. And we said, no problem. And it was Chris Paul. And Chris at the time was at Wake Forest, and Chris said, hey, if I end up making it in the league, would you help me with my camp? And we were like, absolutely. Yeah. And Chris was instrumental, and he introduced us to Dwayne Wade, and then, you know, it was just, everything was a domino effect from there. And then simultaneously our football, and that's, you know, the irony is football is what we do more of it than anything, is NFL is our biggest opportunity with pro camps. So the plan wasn't to be doing this many camps from the beginning, but, you know, we were in 2012, we had a friend from growing up joined us and really took the business to a whole different level, and his name's Adam Ross. Adam's our CEO, but more importantly, he's a great friend. He was, before he joined us, I'll put it in perspective, he was running North America for Old Spice and Gillette. So he now is kind of hobbying with our business, but it's been phenomenal. And so that, those are some, you know, big things, as you know, with anything that's grown, and we're obviously a pretty small company still, but we've had it's infiltrated with great people.
So when you bring in somebody new like that, especially somebody who has obviously the breadth of experience that he has, What are some things that he brings to the table that maybe weren't present in the company before him? What are some ideas, thoughts, processes maybe that he brings to the table that you didn't possibly have before?
Well, I mean, it's just the whole corporate culture is number one. Number two is just a whole different approach to sales. I mean, we became sponsor driven. Which is a really key thing and a differentiator with our camps. We have sponsorship, as you know, from being part of Kyrie Irving's camp. You know that we've had, you know, sponsors have been a key thing to help offset costs and provide underprivileged kids the opportunity to come to the camps, which has been a big part of our business model. So I think those were probably two key areas. And, you know, there's a reason that P&G is the largest consumer products company in the world, because they have the most talented people in the world working there. So it has been, that part has been, you know, a benefit to all of us. So that, and, you know, as we continue to grow and, you know, 40% of our business this year, and you and I haven't caught up for a while, has been stuff that aren't even camps. And so when we launched G3, which is everything, it's not a camp, we park under there. You know, it's given us opportunity to leverage those relationships we've met through sponsors and people that we've helped with camps and bring all that together in a different context.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Alan Stein Jr.
Hello, Hoopheads. This is Alan Stein Jr. My new book, Raise Your Game, High Performance Secrets from the Best of the Best, will be available from all major book retailers on January 8th. Raise Your Game takes a rare peek behind the curtain and shows you what the top coaches and players in the game do during the unseen hours. I share their routines, rituals, and habits, as well as proven strategies that you can implement with your team immediately. If you want to maximize your coaching impact and influence, order your copy today at RaiseYourGameBook.com.
Can you talk a little bit about how important, and it's two things I pulled out from what you were talking about a minute ago. Talk about how important relationships are in your business. And then number two, talk about how important it was in those early days to really make sure that you were doing a great job, so that when Chris Paul talks to, you know, somebody else in the league, and that somebody else talks to somebody else, talk about how important it was to make sure that you were on point with everything that you were doing in terms of doing a great job. So relationships and just the hard work and dedication that went into making sure those early camps went off without a hitch.
Right. So, I mean, as you know, from your background in education and coaching, and, you know, relationships is everything. I mean, people say that all the time. It sounds cliche, but in our business, it's 100% of what that is. And, you know, we tried to come and bring a pretty simple business model where we can handle everything from A to Z, but it's the athlete's camp. It's not our camp. It's, you know, we always joke and say, last night, Larry Fitzgerald wanted to change a couple of things on the agenda. And our rule is, hey, if your name's on the T-shirt, you can do whatever you want. And so we built those partnerships, and not only with, you know, with the athletes, but, you know, with the coaches that work the camp. We want their experience to be awesome, the parents, the kids. So I think that's been key. And you know, our models, we've tried to, you know, it's grown. We learn a lot of what we do from making mistakes like everybody else. But we've tried to, you know, really make sure that the athlete, and in the pro camp's case, can just come and have a great time with the kids and not worry about anything. And he knows that he or she knows that there's insurance and there's background checks and the facility, and that there's a rain plan and all those little things that make the difference in a pro camp. And I always say this, because everybody asks me, oh, who's your favorite person and how are these guys and which one is not good to work with? And I just said, I said, you know, these guys are, you know, these contracts, and we all read it or see it on ESPN, but the fact that they're going to just carve 2 days, in James Harden's case, 4 days, and other guys that, out of their summer. And you've been to, you know, you've seen Kyrie. I mean, those, you know, they could be anywhere, like we say, in the world, and they choose to spend it with kids and a lot of kids that couldn't afford to be there. And so we work with some pretty special people. And I just hope, you know, I think I would, and I know you would, like, if you're in that, you had that platform, that you would take the opportunity to give back and we provide that platform. So it's a pretty simple model if you look at it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that, I mean, I told you that first year that I got a chance to work at Kyrie Irving's camp that I walked away from that a much bigger fan of his than when I walked in. Not that I wasn't a fan before, but I mean, I just walked away impressed. And I think part of that was just the structure that you were able to put around the camp to give him an opportunity to kind of show his personality and interact with the kids and the parents that were there. And one of the things that I thought was really key, which I don't know if I would have thought of going in, is you made a big deal with, you know, the staff and the people that are working that, you know, Kyrie's there to have fun and interact with the kids, like you said, and he's not there to sign autographs for coaches who are working and that kind of thing. And so can you talk about where that policy came from and if that was in place right from the very beginning?
Yeah, well, we always say, and because I'm not a, I hate autographs, but we always, as you know, we always say from those coaches' meetings, we're in the camp business, or not in the memorabilia business. You know, Kyrie puts on the camp for kids to learn the game of basketball, and something that he's been blessed, you know, himself. So for us, it's like if you're in there and staff, you know, you're not at the mall getting an autograph. You're here to help him, and it's amazing because coaches, I think, the more we're doing this, the better they are about that. And it's hard. It's hard to resist in the social media age of saying, hey, can I grab a selfie? But from doing this long, we evaluate the coaches after every camp and in the specific markets. And as you know, Mike, we hire local coaches. And at this point, you know, we're in every pro market in the United States, and we feel like our coaching database is phenomenal. They're motivated men and women that want to just help kids. So, and that's such a key, you know, we always say, like, we want this experience to be great regardless if the athlete's there or not. And obviously the athlete is what is the draw card, but sometimes we get some of the best coaches or a lot of the time, and that's what makes the business fun.
I think one thing, speaking to the whole Kyrie camp situation, you know, when Mike was working his camp the last time, the whole drama with the Cavs was going on at that point, and I remember personally having a conversation with Mike about it, and he said something along the lines of, I didn't even know anything. You couldn't tell that anything was going on. And obviously, everything that Kyrie had been going through, there was a lot going on there. So I think that really speaks to the way that you structured it, and, you know, his personality and how he handles working with the kids. I think that was really cool to hear from Mike, and at the same time, like, just to see from, I wasn't even there and I know about it. So I think that speaks a lot to what the camp structure and what you have in place.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I don't know if Mike mentioned, because I know how humble he is.
My daughter has the photo and the award is up on her. It's on her dresser, so it's still proudly displayed, despite the fact that Kyrie's in Boston. My daughter's going to continue to be a fan for life. So I think that was something that, again, it was a thrill of a lifetime for her. And that's really, again, if we think about why we're kind of all in the business that we're in. You know, you're trying to do it to help kids, and that was something that, again, my daughter's never, she's never going to forget that. She's never going to, you know, lose that picture. It's always going to be something that's meaningful for her. So,
it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what would you say as you go in and you're getting a camp set up with a new pro athlete in any, you know, no matter what the sport is, what are one or two of the biggest challenges in terms of getting a brand new camp up and launched when you get a new athlete into the pro camp stable?
Well, if you asked me that question, you know, 10 years ago, I would say trying to find the right facility, because we've been blessed with some of the guys and gals that we get to work with that draw a pretty big crowd. But so I think we know about every market and what facilities are available. So that part, we've alleviated. I think the bigger challenges is now is just trying to find the window that works for everybody. If you look now, like with some of our NBA camps, a lot of these guys are hopefully planning to be playing until June, and then the off seasons, it just seem like it's so much shorter, and the ones participating in like USA Basketball are doing a shoe tour with their brand internationally. So I think, you know, trying to secure the dates have become probably a big challenge. And again, you know, these guys have as busy calendars as you can imagine. And as they get older, you know, they're having kids of their own, and so those are, but those are good problems. We eventually figure that out, but trying to coordinate all that and moving our directors from, well, you know, we do travel. Our directors, most of them are based here in Cincinnati, but trying to, because once they have an experience with the athlete, a lot of times that athlete wants that director. So just managing the calendar has become the biggest challenge, but you know, we seem to figure it out every year.
To go off of that, how far in advance do you like plan these camps? Like, obviously you're talking about you have a small window. Do you try to do it as far in advance as you can, or how do you go about doing that?
You know, in a perfect world, it's 9 months. I mean, we're starting now from as I mentioned, from figuring out, you know, with some of our bigger sponsors, you know, what markets they're interested in. But you know, we've done it as small window as 1 month. I mean, it always just depends on the athlete or what the condition is. But you know, from a planning perspective, if you have somewhere between 6 and 9 months, it's ideal.
All right, so talk a little bit about the G3 side of the business. And I know that was something that in the last, you know, 2 years or so that you've really tried to focus on and add into, you know, what you've had going with Pro Camp. So can you talk a little bit about what you're doing on that side of the business?
Sure. So we just have had a lot of opportunities that we felt like weren't camps that, and we've had great relationships with the athletes and their agents, and we definitely did not ever want to be in that business, which we're not. And so it's been a good working relationship with some of the partners like Fifth Third Bank here in Cincinnati, who've enjoyed sponsoring the camps in the past, and they want to do some experiential things like doing stuff at Paul Brown Stadium and working with somebody like an AJ Green. So we've helped coordinate that event. So we've gotten into more event opportunities. Aren't necessarily camps, but they're where our experience is, and a lot of times those are parent-child events, so it's right in our wheelhouse. So we're just doing more things in that regards that and it keeps the business, you know, going year-round, where camps are, you know, the May to August is still the busiest time for our company, but having some chances to do some stuff in that off-season per se is what G3's been all about.
Can you talk a little bit too about how you got involved with USA Basketball and a little bit in terms of what that relationship is like and what some of the things are you do with USA Basketball? We had an opportunity to talk to Coach Showalter on the podcast, six weeks ago maybe. Great guy. And so we feel like we've learned a little bit more about kind of the, you know, the inner workings of USA Basketball, and I think it's just a great organization. And can you talk a little bit about how you got connected to them?
Sure. So, as you know, Mike, we besides youth camps, we do fantasy camps. And when Michael Jordan disbanded his, Coach Calipari jumped into that space. And at the time, Duke was really the only other one with Coach K, who has a phenomenal one. It's been going on for about 12 years, but we got involved with Coach Cal and then Coach Self and doing them at the collegiate level. And you know, with the USA Basketball looked to wanting to do one of those, and a good friend and their leader, Jim Tooley, he and I have been speaking, and he and a friend who is a fantasy camper, Rick Elias, kind of brought us to the table and got the opportunity to work with another group, Kevin Foley in Position Sports. So we collaborated, and that's how our relationship began with USA Basketball. And Sean Ford, who you probably know, was very helpful. But you know, we've done that. I think last year was our sixth year of helping with the fantasy camp, which is a fundraiser for USA Basketball, and we've had some pretty prominent college coaches as the coaches. And last year, actually, Kyrie was involved in it. And then from there, you know, we've worked with more on the grassroots side, where the NBA handles the senior team. We've helped them more on the grassroots side, and looking to help them, you know, grow their coaching clinics, which I know you've attended, and helping them with some marketing opportunities, and mainly on the youth space. So we're looking forward to, with the change in the landscape of high school basketball and AAU basketball. We're hoping that we can be more involved with those opportunities.
What do you foresee in terms of, you know, obviously USA Basketball is starting to at least try to grow their influence over some of those, especially, again, like you said, on the youth level. What do you foresee in terms of some changes that they're going to try to affect in the youth space and the, you know, the high school, the summer market? What do you see out there that they're going to try to accomplish? Anything that you can speak to on that?
You know, you're probably closer to that than I am, even though I have my own. I finally have a son who's in high school, so I'm trying to figure it out. I think, you know, USA Basketball, as you know, has a very powerful voice, and I think they're the perfect solution to everything going on. But I hear different accounts of what's going to happen next, and so I'm really not in the loop enough. I read what everybody else does, but I think, you know, it's a great chance to I think get things a little more equitable, I guess, so kids have the right opportunities, and we get the high school coach more involved again. I think that, you know, just talking to with some of the coaches, I think that's what they would prefer from the recruiting process, and I think USA will have a big voice in that, so it should be exciting.
Yeah, I think it would be great if we could get USA Basketball to be able to have more influence over some of the things that go on during the summertime, and just sort of, again, if we could come up with some, you know, they obviously put out their youth standards, both in terms of, you know, what you should be doing with kids at different ages and the guidelines, and, you know, in terms of the type of defense that can be played and the height of the rim and the size of the ball and all those things. And it's just, what I'd like to see happen is really see those things take hold, because I think they're going the right direction. It's just what I've talked to a bunch of coaches about, both privately and then on the podcast, is it takes a tremendous amount, I think, of education of, you know, parents that, you know, this is the situation that we have now. Here's the situation of what we think should be happening, and here's the why behind it. And I think it's going to take, again, the, you know, USA Basketball's presence to, you know, speak to kind of what, you know, your side of it. Their presence is certainly much bigger than it was 2 years ago, but it's still probably not quite prominent enough yet to where they can have the kind of influence that I think they'd like to have. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen, that they're going to become, again, a stronger, you know, governing body, for lack of a better word, where they can really have influence over the things that are, you know, things that are happening. I think that's the direction we're headed. I'm just not sure how fast that's going to take place.
Agree. Yeah. I think, you know, again, I think and I'm relearning it. I mean, my first AAU experience was, I was on the first, I'll tell you how old I am, the All Ohio team with Jerry Watson, All Ohio Red. We had t-shirts and it said All Ohio on the front of it in a screen print. So
you don't want to fly all over the country and wear your nice jersey and all that stuff. Come on.
Exactly. things have changed a lot these days. So, but yeah, it should, hopefully it all be for the positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing, I think, when you look at the experiences, and, you know, as your kids come up through it, and, you know, my kids are kind of just short of that. It's amazing that it just how different basketball is from when you and I were playing as to where it is now, in terms, especially in terms of that summer, you know, the summer circuit and camps and all that. It's just, it's amazing the difference that, you know, how it's changed.
Agree.
So let's wrap up, Greg, with one final story that you and I share. I'm going to let you tell the story in your recollection of it, because we'll see if my recollection of it is accurate. Jason and I will have to compare notes after the podcast and see if how I recall it is. So this was at a practice at Kent during your freshman year, correct?
Correct.
All right. So I'm going to let you pick up the story from there.
Well, you and Greg Holman have different versions of this story. I guess all the guys do, but
I'm assuming it's changed over time. It's changed over time, probably. It started like my dad tells a story about how there was a small spider, and then my mom says it was a small spider, and my dad's made it this ginormous spider. So I'm sure it's embellished a little bit.
Exactly. But we had an old school coach, Jim McDonald, great person. But we did some drills that were probably used back in the day with the maybe the Celtics with Havlicek, I think.
Kuzi. I was gonna say Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy, yeah. But one day, I don't know what exactly we were doing. It was some type of Mike, I think it might have been one-on-one dribbling or whatever, but Coach really felt like if he didn't hear your shoes squeaking, you weren't working hard. And as any of my teammates at any level from high school to Kent to Miami would tell you, defense was not my strong suit. And we were trying to get through a drill, and he just kept making me do it over again before the team could move on to the next thing because my shoes were not squeaking. But I'm going to blame it, Mike, officially on the shoes we were wearing, which were the last pair of leather Converse I believe ever made in college basketball.
Yeah, I think so. I think the one year I wore third, I went through 31 pairs. I don't know if that was the year.
I don't know if that was the year you were there.
Little thing on the bottom that would pop out, the little piece of foam.
Yeah, the energy booster or whatever that thing was.
Exactly.
But the story became legendary and literally it was one of the things I'll never forget. I don't think my teammates will either, but I think Mike, you might have squeaked your shoes, and he thought it was mine to get us through the drill. But
could have been. I just remember you
appreciate the assist.
What I remember is you just dragging your foot along the ground, like giving up on actually trying to get him to squeak, but actually dragging your toe, like trying to go, please let this shoe make some noise somehow.
Exactly. those were good times, though.
They really were. That's one of the things that that's what sports is all about. I mean, those kinds of memories and those kinds of things that, bring guys together. And that, again, we all have, if we could probably go back and watch it on video, it's probably nothing like any of the three of us, really recall. It's probably slightly different, but it's fun to be able to reminisce and just think about what times were like back then. And again, it's been a pleasure for me to reconnect with you in the last couple of years. And we want to say thank you to you for taking some time out of your schedule to jump on the podcast with us. Means a lot to me personally. And again, hopefully our audience out there has gotten a lot out of it. So before we get out of here, I don't know if you want to share out how people can reach out to you at Pro Camps and find out more about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And thanks for having me on, both of you. It's procamps.com. And we probably have a camp in your market, wherever you're listening from, or real near it. And we'd love to have children of all ages. So procamps.com. And thanks again, guys, for having me.
Absolutely, Greg. And I can vouch for, like I said, I worked 2 years at the Kyrie Irving camp, and Greg and his company do a fantastic job. So if you ever get an opportunity to attend a Pro Camps event, I'd highly recommend it. So, Greg, thanks again for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Hello, Hoopheads. This is Alan Stein, Jr. My new book, Raise Your Game, High Performance Secrets from the Best of the Best, will be available from all major book retailers on January 8th. Raise Your Game takes a rare peek behind the curtain and shows you what the top coaches and players in the game do during the unseen hours. I share their routines, rituals, and habits, as well as proven strategies that you can implement with your team immediately. If you want to maximize your coaching impact and influence, order your copy today at RaiseYourGameBook.com. And in the spirit of the holidays, if you're interested in purchasing multiple copies for your coaching staff, team, or program, I am offering several bonuses, like a 40% discount, signed copies, and a private video call with your team. But you'll have to place your order before Christmas. Once again, go to RaiseYourGameBook.com for everything you need.
If you're looking for a great way to spend the holidays playing some basketball, please join us at one of our Head Start Basketball Holiday Camps on December 27th and 28th, 2018. We'll have a camp at Hoop Guru Courthouse in Hinckley and also at St. Pascal Baylon School in Highland Heights. The Head Start Basketball Holiday Camps will emphasize the fundamentals of basketball with individual attention given to each camper. You'll improve your basketball skills and have a ton of fun at the Head Start Basketball Holiday Camp. To register or get more information, please visit our website, www.headstartbasketball.com.
Head Start Basketball's Player Development Academy offers Cleveland area players a unique opportunity to improve their basketball skills. Regardless of a player's age, skill level, or position, training with Head Start Basketball will elevate your game to the next level. Do you want to improve your ball handling, become a better shooter, or develop into a more skilled, confident player? Our Academy classes offer training that's designed to do just that. Our training sessions are innovative and will have you learning skills that are transferable to actual games. We have 4 different class skill levels for boys and girls, ages 4 and up. All Player Development Academy classes will be held at the Strongsville Recreation Center. For more information or to get registered, please visit www.headstartbasketball.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.